Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Good morning, Los Angeles. Good morning, America. Good morning, the world. I am here once again to start Dental Series Part 3 with my good friend and my favorite dentist, Dr. Randolph Aguilera. We're going to hit it on root canals tonight. Doc, I know you have a lot to say.
Thank you, Dr. Medici. Yes, this is really an interesting subject, to say the least.
Yeah, we chewed it out last night.
And yeah, we did.
We may have to do this in two parts. There's so much. But why? Because someone in the audience today, I am sure, eating breakfast is sitting there and you just bit down on a tooth and it hurts. And that tooth has been root canaled and it still hurts. And you're scared because you think you're going to need to get it pulled. Hopefully that's not the case. But if that's you, make sure you listen to this show today. The other thing is, some of you have a problem with your tooth. It hurts. It comes and it goes. Occasionally it's sensitive to hot, it's sensitive to cold, but it's okay. It's not enough for you to go running to a dentist, and that's the mistake you make. On both levels, why? Not enough education, and I think Dr. A and I can certainly relate to your concern about the education, because I think even last night I got an education, and you had to rethink a few things. So this is a never-ending, it's probably, would you say, about the most controversial or one of the most controversial subjects in dentistry?
Absolutely. Even within traditional dentistry, it's controversial to a point in some circles, but between certainly traditional dentists and dentists who are looking for alternative options, absolutely.
That's been my experience. I mean, we did tooth decay, show one. We did the crowns, show two. That was kind of black and white. I think we did a great job. I think we laid it out. I think our audience received it beautifully. Now we're going to get into a more complicated topic. So, guys, definitely listen hard today. Make sure you get on the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com, straighttalk.cc. The pictures will mean so much more today. Really quick, Doc, I'm just going to roll out the anatomy really quick. Troops, picture number one. Look at picture number one. Simply want to say, if you're looking at that picture, down the center there is what we call the canal of the tooth. That canal, which has a venous supply, meaning a blood supply that drains that area, a blood supply, the arterial, that's the red, that supports the area and sends blood, a nerve, thus the word root canal, and we'll get into that, and also a lymphatic supply. And all of that ends up in the pulp cavity. If you look at the word pulp on that picture, just above it is that squarish area where you see like branches that are different colored. That's the pulp chamber. So you've got the canal of the tooth. Now here's my point, the root of the tooth. What do we mean by the root of the tooth? Go to picture number three. Those prongs, those legs on the tooth are what we call the roots of the tooth. Doc, that's three or four roots for this tooth.
Absolutely.
Is that three or four roots, that big one over here?
Actually, that's just a spike off of that. Now, that looks like an upper molar, and an upper molar traditionally will have, an upper first molar will traditionally have three roots, one big one on the palate and two on the cheek side. So that could be even the way as many roots as you see. That's probably a wisdom tooth because it's anomalous.
See, this is what I love. You were doing this last night. You just look at the tooth and talk for 5 hours. I only know it's one of the back teeth, but that's three roots.
Exactly.
Okay, let's have the audience look at picture number four. Again, this is three roots on a tooth. Doc, could you talk about that one that's on the top there that's got, it looks like it's sticking up?
Yeah, that's exactly. No, that is definitely an upper first molar because there's three roots on that. The big one on the front, toward the front of the picture. That's
three legs.
The three legs. The big leg that sticks out toward the front, that is the palatal root. That goes up on the roof of the mouth, the palate. The other two are nasty because those are really hooked and curved.
Ah,
those are
hooked
on the cheek side.
And this is later on, guys, where I'm going to talk to you about why you have to get a superb dentist, why you need a very skilled endodontist. Because that curving, is there a technical term for the curved?
A
curved root.
It's just a curved root.
That's a much tougher root to deal with.
Absolutely.
But let me get back to the anatomy. So those three prongs, those three legs, those three roots are stuck in your bone and connected to your bone by the periodontal ligament. That's why your teeth don't fall out, because those three legs are stuck by a ligament inside your mouth. That's the basic anatomy. Now, let's go back to picture one so you guys can get oriented. Better yet, let's go to picture two. Now, you're looking at picture two, and now I want you to make sure that you're oriented. Those legs, you're looking at sort of like a section there. We split the tooth down the side. That's called a carinal split on the tooth.
Yeah, cross-section.
Yeah.
Crown.
And you're looking into the tooth, and there are those legs stuck in the bone. Now, the center of it there, where you see those, that yellow and that red, so on and so forth, that's the canal. And you know where the root is. It's around the canal. So let's get a picture up of what happens when you go in for a root canal. Let's look and take a look at what this looks like. So we're going to come down over here.
You're going in for a treatment of that root canal.
Exactly. And it's gotten infected. And that infection, okay, here's picture number 13. So go to picture 13, blow it up. It's a tiny picture. You're going to look at a perfect representation here of a what? A tooth that's been decayed. And, Doc, do you want to continue?
The tooth has been decayed. So in the coronal or top portion, the crown part of the tooth, you can see the decay has gone through the tooth and has eaten out, if you will, the top part of the crown of the tooth. And that decay now has finally gotten to the pulp chamber that you mentioned earlier. Now, once you have decay, that means into the pulp chamber, you have now infection of the pulp chamber, the pulp, with the bacteria from that decay. Now that pulp starts to die on you. Now, even if you have the decay to
I'm going to cut in for one
sure.
second. Dr. A, you just said something. The pulp is starting to die. You, there, in the audience, that's getting that occasional twinge, that occasional ping, that occasional throb, that occasional message from your body, your pulp cavity very often is infected to the point where you're starting to kill the nerve. Stop it there. This is where you have to go in and make a move. Teeth are sneaky. They give you little hints. And if you don't listen to them, it's bad. And this is how you lose teeth. This is how when you go in for the big root canal, you have a poor outcome because you've let these little pings go so long. Doc, I cut you off.
No, not a problem. What I was thinking is that you have to remember that when you start to feel those first symptoms, that's because the decay is now starting to communicate to the pulp, to the nerve, before it actually accesses or gets to the
nerve.
And
that's the inflamed pulp on
the
root.
That's the early warning system. So it's the early warning system of the tooth that's letting you know you need some attention and you need some attention now. But if you have decay, and we can see this on X-ray, we have a couple of radiographs later we'll look at, but when you have decay into the pulp so that you now have a direct communication of the decay into the pulp chamber, it's too late. And it doesn't make any difference. In this picture, it looks like the pulp and the nerve going down the root on the left-hand side is infected. If the left-hand side's infected, you can be sure that the right-hand side is going to be infected as well. So when you do a root canal treatment, I'm asked all the time, do I need to do a root canal treatment on both roots? Because the left side, I understand, is infected. Yes, you have to do it on both sides because
And what you're saying is that all three roots legs communicate with each other.
Exactly.
And, if you're infecting one leg, that bacteria is going to travel throughout the rest of it.
Exactly. So the whole thing has to be treated.
One down. Fortunately, we're not like that. If I have an infection in my left leg, you may take my left leg, but I'll still have a good right leg.
That's correct.
Not so with the tooth. They're finicky. That's why you have to catch it in early stage. Now, at a certain point in the beginning, that message you're getting, that occasional twinge, that mild irritation that comes and goes, if you catch it then, it may be reversible. But once you see that abscess down on the bottom, once it goes that far, then you have a problem. And you're going to know you have that problem. Now, we're going to discuss with Dr. Aguilera some of the steps, some of the diagnostic procedures that he uses and that I also think are good. We're going to talk about the shades of gray with these diagnostic procedures. In other words, how do you know it's a root canal and not, and we're going to get into this, inflammation of the periodontal ligament, which very often masks a root canal. Rather, the root canal is, I should say it like this. You may think it's the nerve root that's infected and it's the periodontal ligament. You may think it's the nerve root that's infected and it's just that your bite is off and you've inflamed the periodontal ligament. You may think it's the root of the tooth and it's just dented. You may think it's an abscess or a procedure that necessitates a root canal and it's simply that you have dentin exposure and you're intermittently inflaming the canal. And he's going to talk about the diagnostic procedures in a moment. So, let's take a look at some of the radiographs. Let's take a look at what you'd say about this. So, gang, go to picture number 21. Go to picture 21. I want you to get oriented. When you go to a dentist and he x-rays your teeth and he sees this, this is what he might say. Doc, you go with this. Picture 21.
So picture 21 on the near the crown portion of the tooth, you see that green arrow. That's showing you that dark area on the by the green arrow. That's a definitive, that's a frank diagnosis of decay into the pulp chamber.
So they ate the bacteria ate the bone away.
The bacteria ate the tooth away. You can see the tooth supporting the crown. That white portion at the top is the crown. And so you can see where the green arrow was pointing. That's the area of decay. So the decay has got into the pulp chamber. This is not near the pulp chamber. This is actually into the pulp chamber. And how you can confirm that is by going down the root tip to the root tip there. You can see the blue arrows. The blue arrows are pointing to that dark circle. That tells us that we have less bone density there. And what causes less bone density in this situation? This is an abscess at the root tip. So this tooth is now a candidate for a root canal treatment procedure. But this is the one thing we have to watch out for. Look at the amount, back to the green arrow, look at the amount of that dark circle on the actual tooth and the proximity, how close it is to the level of the bone. If that decay goes below the level of the bone, yes, we can do a root canal treatment on it, but we're not going to be able to do a successful crown on it. And a posterior tooth like this is going to need to have a crown after the root canal treatment.
All right. So one thing for sure, when you see a patient and they're concerned about a tooth, if you see at the apical end, and apical end, guys, means the part that's stuck deep in your bone.
Around the root tip.
Where the blue is. Okay? If you see that circular black area, it means that the infection in the canal of the tooth went outside the canal. It went outside what we call the tip or the apical end, and the infection ate into the surrounding bone and made that big black circle. You would call that a frank lesion.
Correct.
It means you need a root canal.
No ifs, ands, or buts.
And I would say a good, what percentage of the time your patient will agree with you?
On this, I mean, yeah. You can clearly see this on the computer screen.
No, I don't mean from the picture.
Oh, from the
yeah, the patient may not understand the picture.
80% of the time, the patient's probably not going to have any symptoms with this. 20% of the time, they will. So 8 out of the 10 times, the patient's not going to feel this until you not understand this, because what will happen is they'll go, geez, I've been going to the dentist, and he's been taking bite wings, and the last couple
that's
of times.
That's interesting. I didn't think it was 80-20. That's because I'm very sensitive. So you're saying even with a frank lesion like that, 80% of the time the patient's not going to feel it.
Yeah, because,
or in a lot of times the patient won't feel
because
it.
Because what happens is by this stage, the nerve is already dead and gone. So it's not capable of giving you any symptoms. Prior to this, you probably felt some symptoms. Prior to this, you probably had a fistula, kind of a pimple on the gum area that released the gas.
I must be such a sensitive individual because I've got a number of root canals from you, and man, did I feel them, every single one of them. So here's my question to you. A patient comes in, they're not particularly symptomatic.
Correct.
You throw their x-rays up and see this radiolucency, and you might tell them, this is something to take a look at. This is what I like about you. If the patient still sticks to the old-fashioned rule, if I don't feel it, there's nothing wrong with it.
Correct.
Leave it alone. Because this is about $4,000 between the root canal and a new crown, so on and so forth.
Excellent.
And
you're correct.
If that patient wants to wait, and this is what I've always respected about you, what you'll do is say, listen, this looks like a frank lesion to me, but we're going to watch this. You see? We're going to watch it. I'd recommend that you do something, because this is really a frank lesion, but we can watch this if that's what you want to do. And you see, that gives the patient the choice.
Now, what we want to do on this particular radiograph, on this particular x-ray, there is no ifs, ands, or buts. We're not going to watch this. This we need to do, because if we don't intercede right away, sooner rather than later, the decay at the green arrow is probably going to go below the bone line, and we're not going to be able to save this tooth.
We had some
radiographs earlier that show us widened periodontal ligament space. And those are the ones that we can then try to determine, is the widened periodontal ligament space a cause by endodontic, meaning the issue is inside the tooth, in the nerve, in the pulp, or is it periodontic, meaning outside the tooth, simply an issue of the bone and the periodontal ligament around the tooth. But in this case, this tooth needs to be, we need to do something about this
because
now.
Of that decay especially, you're going to lose the tooth if you don't. So we have to
and
move
this patient
it.
Will probably come in, the symptoms. And this patient will probably report to me is, you know, Doc, I'm packing a lot of food in between these two crowns, in between those two molars, because that hole there catches food, and that's part of the problem that led to this issue. And that, if you can look between the two teeth, this is very, look at the green arrow, and right above the green arrow, you see where the two crowns meet? It's like you can see a space in between there. Those two teeth don't touch as well as they should. That was probably a light contact or even an open contact to begin with. So when those crowns were placed from the get-go, that patient probably packed food from the very, you know, the very beginning from day one, and that may have led to this issue that you see there now.
Okay, so we're going to close case on this. You have an x-ray taken, you're the patient, and you see that big radiolucency. Dr. A is saying this is a frank lesion, and you got to move on it. You shouldn't even wait. I always like to push the edge, but nonetheless, this is just so obvious, it's foolish to wait.
Yeah, not on this one, but let's take a look at some of the others. Yeah.
So let's go to this one over here.
Those are those two together. There we go.
Now, this one here, I want everyone to look at the tip or the end where this yellow circle is. Again, that's the apex of the root. Doc, this is one root tooth.
Correct.
Okay, so we've got one root. We don't have three legs, three prongs. We've got one. Now, we can all see this inside the yellow circle, this black area that contours the entire tip of the tooth. And this is what Dr. A was talking about earlier. This is truly a more ambiguous situation. And, Doc, I'll give it to you now.
Absolutely, because what you're looking at, if you look at the roots of the teeth next to it, the around the root tip, you don't see that kind of a dark outline. But on this particular tooth inside the yellow circle, you do see that dark outline. And what that is a widened periodontal ligament space. What does that mean? It means the fibers in that space have now become inflamed and they've swollen up. And when they do that, they push the tooth up out of the socket. So now the space between the root and the bone is now wider, and the x-ray, wherever it's less dense, it shows up as dark. So in this case, do we say that this tooth has a need for a root canal treatment?
And can this tooth feel like what you feel before a root canal.
Absolutely, because those periodontal ligaments, they have nerve endings that are just as sophisticated and more so than the nerve that's inside the tooth, because those nerves in the periodontal ligaments are part of the tooth's proprioception. They're extremely sensitive, extremely sophisticated. So they have to be able to pick up any kind of, it's the proprioception of the periodontal ligaments that allow you to be able to bite into an olive that's supposed to be pitted.
So if your bite's off, this is going to hurt?
Exactly. Because the periodontal ligaments are inflamed, and you're going to feel that pain.
If you've got gum disease, that ligament will inflame.
You could have caught a piece of food in between there, or a popcorn husk, or something along those lines jammed into the sulcus, into the space between the gum and the tooth, that has caused this irritation. So that inflammation that you see there, we don't know where that inflammation is, periodontal, meaning around the tooth, or endodontic. And that's why what we want to do is be conservative in this approach. We want to at least look at some of the history. It could be then, if this situation, patient took a pop, they were out in the playground or in a basketball game, and took an elbow to the mouth, that could lead to this that possibly then reverses.
You know, I hope the audience, and we're going to get into this much more later, appreciates why I have you on the show. Because you do take your time and give the most conservative approach first, if at all possible. Against which, and we're going to address this later, we have people saying that root canal teeth, in other words, teeth that have dead nerves, have no option but to be pulled. And I have seen over the last 20 years so many instances of people coming into my office and they're missing 4 to 5 teeth. They've got bridges all over the upper quadrants. And it's simply an opinion that said, you have an inflamed nerve root. It's dying. That tooth is no longer vital. And there's only one option here. We're yanking it out and throwing a bridge in. We'll discuss it later. I think this is a disaster. But it begins with that slam dunk approach that says, oops, you see on that x-ray, you've got some radiolucency, you've got pain in the tooth, let's yank that thing out. And it's not that way. So I loved and always have loved that you'll make these delineations, and they're subtle. You said it last night. The periodontal ligament is very, very underestimated. And I want the audience to really consider that before you do the root canal, you exhaust the possibility that periodontal ligament is the cause. You rule periodontal issues out, and that opens it to an enormous discussion here. Let's just take a picture of the periodontal ligament. Go out of the top and click to view the full article on the periodontal ligament. Let's just take a look at the top. The normal periodontum. And this is a link I put on. I want you guys on your own to strum through this link. It's got about a bunch of fantastic pictures. I think the periodontal ligament is extremely interesting. Doc, I'm going to go to picture number 3 here. Okay? And I want the audience to get really, really involved here and understand and get oriented. So you're at the top link that says periodontal ligament. You've clicked it on. Dr. Aguilar and I are looking at the picture on page 3 of 22, so those arrows on the bottom of the picture. Click to picture 3, the periodontal fibers. Doc, can you say a little bit, and anything you wanted to say that haven't, about the ligament itself, cementum, the gingival sulcus?
The gingival sulcus that you're looking at, so on the left side of that picture, the yellow is the actual tooth. On the right side, the pink is the actual gum and the periodontal ligament. Where does the periodontal ligament fibers? And let's get this clarified. When we say periodontal ligament, we are making reference to all those hundreds and hundreds of fibers. It's not a single ligament. It's hundreds and hundreds of fibers that you see there. It's that ligament that you see that below the sulcus, at the bottom of the sulcus, okay? The sulcus is the space near the top where the little arrow is pointing, exactly. That space is where I was talking about earlier. You could possibly get a popcorn husk caught in there. And if you do, it's going to irritate not only the top of the gum, but it's going to irritate the periodontal ligaments, okay? Now, if you were to take a periodontal probe or an instrument The periodontal, the bone is about 2 millimeters below that bottom of the sulcus, or the, that little pocket there. When, you know, that's that sulcus that you comes into play when you go get your teeth clean and they take measurements of your pockets. What they're trying to determine is how deep that pocket is from the top of the gum to the bottom of the pocket. But if you punch through the bottom of that pocket, 2 millimeters away, you run into the bone. And that is the beginning where the periodontal ligament fibers are. It's the periodontal ligament fibers that hold the root of the tooth to the bone socket. And the root there is covered with cementum. That's a layer that's very porous that allows the periodontal ligament fibers to hold on to the root surface. And then, of course, the surface of the bone where it connects to the socket is porous as well. And that's what holds it in place. So this is what's really important. So that periodontal, that space between the tooth and the inside wall of the bone socket is, on x-ray, is dark because you can't see the periodontal ligament fibers because they're soft tissue. So that's what we're looking at, and that's the most important thing. Those periodontal ligament fibers are everything in a situation when you're trying to determine where a tooth needs to have a root canal or not, because it's an endodontic origination or problem. Or it's a periodontal, peri meaning around the tooth, which now, if it's a periodontal problem meaning around the tooth, then we're talking about not things inside the tooth, which is the artery, the vein, the lymph, and the nerve. We're talking about the gum. We're talking about the bone. We're talking about the periodontal fibers. So this is a big distinction that needs to be differentiated from the get-go.
Okay, so patient comes to see you because they've heard this show say, they've got two scenarios. One, a tooth that hurts intermittently, but not enough to make them scream. And they're starting to think, gee, I need to get this looked at. Or they've had a root canal tooth, and the root canal tooth still hurts. The first thing, or one of the things you're going to include then, is it endodontic, meaning infection in the canal, or is it periodontic, meaning related to the periodontal ligament? You add to the list, but off the top of my head, four good reasons why it's going to be the periodontal ligament. Number one, they have gum disease, and they're stuffing food in that sulcus that you're referring to. Number two, they have gum disease because they're losing bone. And once you lose bone, you get recession, and the dentin tubules get exposed. And those tubules are sensitive, just like the canal of the tooth, and that's what's going on. Number three, they're biting hard because they clench at night. And when you clench at night, you grind into the tooth and you inflame the ligament and so on and so forth. You can add a few. Point being, because we're going to move on to the procedure, because this is the, I think, ultimately the more important part. You think periodontal ligament first. If you got that for the first 20 minutes of the show, you scored. Now, let's get to a tooth that's been root canaled. Let's get to the root canal procedure, because there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. Doc, you take it here. Picture number six. Okay?
On this tooth, this is fairly straightforward, but even on a tooth, this is a front tooth, okay, that has only one root, one canal, normally. But this is why it's so important when you get a root canal treatment that you determine, is there one root and only one canal, or are there accessory canals? Are there additional canals? So this is what my recommendation has been over the years. If you're going to get a root canal treatment, get it done the very best way you can. And if that, what that means is you need to work with a practitioner who is experienced and skillful and who is using a microscope. This is so important because, as you can see, on the middle picture there, where they have that file going down with the blue
stop. You're just opening up that canal. You're going down with it with a file. You're cleaning it out, and then you're going to fill it with something. That is the nuts and bolts of a canal.
That's the nuts and bolts of a root canal treatment.
But,
so what you're doing is, on the first picture on the left, you see that the pulp has been infected. It's rotten. It's decaying. It's putrefying. It needs to get out of there.
So what's that thing there going down with?
That's a root canal file, okay? That's a that is something that allows them to go down the canal.
That's that
and
itchy
scrape.
Feeling when it feels like they're sawing out your tooth.
Exactly. So they're scraping that out, okay? So they're taking that out of there, and what they're doing, that allows them to clean and shape the canal, get rid of all the necrotic tissue. And then on the right-hand side, the last picture, the third picture, is they're filling the canal, because the whole purpose now of this root canal treatment is to seal the root tip opening. That canal goes all the way down the root tip, and at the very root tip, you have an opening that must be sealed. Because if you go back to the first picture, what you're actually looking at are two areas of infection. The source of the infection inside the canal, and then outside the root tip on the first picture, you see that yellow abscess. That means that the periodontal ligament, the bone, is now infected. That's the secondary area of infection. So your body's working hard to clean up that area of infection because it has a blood supply to that.
All right. So I'm gonna. This is what I want to get to the audience. I want to get all the things that you do right. And I can say this because it's my show that I don't see other people do. So I'm going to do it just like I did it last time with crowns. A root canal is simply they open up this canal. They file out all the decay, they disinfect it with bleach, and then they seal it up with gutta percha.
Correct.
And that's the way it's done, nuts and bolts. So I want first my audience to understand that's a root canal. Done. Hopefully you had it DDX'd, differentiated from a periodontal ligament issue, and that's the root canal. Now, one by one, let's talk about the way you do it. Because I think the way you do it is infinitely better. I watched you evolve this over the last 15 years. I think you can make some powerful arguments for the way you do it. First of all, when they go up and down with that file, okay, what they're doing is shaping that canal, because that canal's made of soft dentin.
Correct.
So, audience, when you look at that canal, that picture, that area, that canal there on either side is not the enamel of the tooth, but the dentin, and that dentin can be shaped. When you do a root canal, when your endodontist, Dr. Mehta, your choice man to work with, does a root canal, talk to me about how either you or he shape that canal.
Okay, I don't do them anymore, not since I found Dr. Mehta. Dr. Mehta is my root canal specialist. What he does is he exclusively works with a microscope because it's so, and this is a surgical microscope. I'm not talking about the loops that I use that are on my glasses with the LED light. I'm talking about a surgical microscope that magnifies.
Guys, just go down to picture number 47.
Right. That's a surgical microscope. He has up to 40 times power, 40 power that he can see. That'll blow up that inside of that tooth 40 times because he's looking for the extra canals. Because if you overlook a canal, now this tooth has one root, one canal, but some of the pictures we'll show you later are molars that have two or three roots. But
we're going to get to lateral roots, but just
exactly.
In terms of shaping that canal.
So it's so important that he works with a microscope. He's looking for the extra canals because it's a foregone conclusion. If you overlook a canal, you left all that necrotic tissue behind.
Let's look at an extra canal. We're going to do this right now. So here on picture 18, we have a lateral canal.
That's a lateral canal down a canal we've already, that's a lateral branch over a canal we've already identified. But on one of the earlier pictures, we'll have to go back. We actually, where we're looking down, we can see the openings. We're talking about identifying and finding the extra canals that may be there that are often overlooked.
All right. Let's go to the video because that's what you're referring to.
Yeah.
Guys, go to the top. Go to the top and look at this video. Click to view full article on 3D obturation. This is what Dr. A means when he says you've got to have a microscope when you get a root canal treatment. I want you to go into, this will only run a minute or so. So just turn that video on.
So what we're trying to get at, the most important point is that if you're going in blind, and take a look at that picture there. You can see on the right-hand side that picture. There we go.
You're 25 seconds into the show, gang. 25 seconds into the show.
There's four root canals. There's four canals there. That tooth is a rooted tooth, and it has four canals. Look at that.
Again, we're 25 seconds into that video that says obturation on top. So take the time to get it. It's worth doing. Go to 25 seconds in, and that's what Dr. A is talking about.
This is what you have to be able to see now. Now, on this particular instance, they have done a great job of access. So they've taken the roof off of the pulp chamber. Yes, they took off the top part of the crown of this tooth to access that. Now, this is clear. You can clearly see that. But if this is, you're looking at this at 40 times, you know, magnification. But if you're looking at that with just your 20/20 vision, with the mouth mirror or with loops, you may miss one of those. So the bottom line is it's just imperative that this root canal treatment procedure be done under microscope. And surgical microscope allows you to see all the floor. And now, if you're you have to be able to look. You have to have the knowledge to look for those extra canals. But now at least you have the ability. You may have the knowledge. I want to look for the extra canals. But if you're not using a microscope, you don't have the ability to see them.
All right, so point one, you've ruled out periodontal ligament. That's point one. Point
right.
two, you're using a microscope so you don't miss a canal. Now, point number three.
You want to be able to clean and shape those canals properly so that you have access all the way to the root tip opening, the apical foramen, it's called.
Now, how do they shape them wrong? How do they shape this canal incorrectly?
Well, what they're doing now, because they don't have the ability to see as well as they could, they'll overshape it. You want to be able to, you can't, there's two things you don't want to do. You don't want to undershape it, then you won't be able to get your instruments all the way to the root tip, or they overshape it. They widen the canal so much that they weaken the walls of the canal, so that later if they're going to do lateral condensation, you run the risk of potentially cracking the root.
And that happened to me. All right, I had an endodontist, not your endodontist. I was out on my explorations. Put the file down, go up and down, up and down. So, guys, you're looking at, I want to make sure we get to the subtle stuff. So you got to be patient here because these subtleties are everything. It's why you pay better dentists for better work and end up saving money. And this is what I want to get to you. Dr. A is talking about another aspect of doing a superior root canal. You have to shape the canal. So if you're looking at picture number six, your dentist is filing that canal space, and he can because it's soft, because it's made of dentin on either side. Now, Dr. Aguilar is saying that you can't undershape it or overshape it. If you overshape it, you may perforate it. That happened to me, and I had to have tooth number 15 extracted from a very skilled endodontist that just made a mistake. Thus, if you're asking me, Doc, part of the art of this is you have to have great hands.
Exactly.
Which you do, you see. This is another thing about you. When you're in somebody's tooth, all right, your hands are gentle. It's like sculpture. Root canal, as well as Crown Street, but we'll talk root canal. You have to be like a sculptor with soft hands, because when you're shaping that canal, if you're rough like the guy was that worked on me, you perforate, and then you cause an extraction. So, over and under shaping, could you define that again?
Well, the bottom line is you need to be able to. One of the reasons for what you're doing is sanding, if you will, or shaping the inside of that canal wall is to get rid of a lot of the necrotic bacteria and the muck that's up against that wall, because you want to get it cleaned out. You want to get it cleaned out because you want to make sure you get all that necrotic tissue out, because those walls are not perfectly round. They can be irregularly shaped, and you need to be able to get that out of there. So if there's a little dent or a little invagination, the term is called, you want to smooth that out so that when you fill it, you have a chance of filling the whole wall and getting a good contact to the inside of the wall. So that's why it's important. But you don't want to overshape it. So it's called it's referred to as a biological shaping, so that you get all the necrotic tissue out, but don't overdo it. And this is so important. And so the bottom line is that's what you're looking for. Someone who's got the good hand, someone who's got the good vision, which you have under microscope. And this is really important. You want to make sure that your dentist is working This is why you work with a specialist. The specialist has the special tools. He has the special instruments that have the flexibility, the nickel titanium instruments that will go in and shape and clean things properly and not overdo it. Because a lot of, I mean, this particular instance here, that's a fairly straight canal. But as we saw earlier, those that were really hooked, you have to have an instrument that makes
good.
That turn.
You're getting into the guts of it now, and this is good. So my audience out there getting their root canals this week, they got a guy with rough hands, they got a guy in a rush, they got a guy not using a microscope, they got a guy not thinking in terms of whether it might be the periodontal ligament, they got a guy doing some sort of decay, some sort of work on the cavity and digging out a lot of decay and not doing a two-stage okay treatment to give the pulp cavity a chance to cool down. They have somebody that just jumping to a diagnosis too fast, and this is how we have root canal failures. So shaping that canal, now if you shape it right, the next thing you have to do is fill it.
That's
now,
correct.
There's two ways to fill it, or there are two of the ways to fill it is with a standard gutta percha, which is one type of filler, and then EndoCal 10. And let's talk about, you talk about the difference between gutta percha and EndoCal 10. You use gutta percha in your practice. Dr. Mehta uses gutta percha.
EndoCal 10. EndoCal 10.
You use EndoCal 10. Dr. Mehta uses EndoCal 10. Others are going to use gutta percha. Can you talk about the pros and cons of each and why you choose what you choose?
The whole purpose of using that material is simply to get that material to the root tip opening, have it block, occlude, obturate. You want it to have it block that root tip opening and stay blocked. And why is that? Because you don't want the secondary area of infection. If you, on this picture, if you go back to the picture number one on the left-hand side, you see that yellow. No, you had it there. That was correct.
We're on picture six.
On picture six, on the left hand, there's three diagrams there. The diagram on the far left side is the yellow. That yellow is abscess outside the root tip. Okay, so that's bacteria there. What we want to make sure is that bacteria does not migrate back up into the canal after it's been cleaned, because now we have no, the body has no way of getting to any bacteria that might migrate back up into the canal because there's no blood supply. So the whole purpose then of the root canal treatment, in addition to cleaning out all the necrotic source of the infection, the soft tissue that is now dead and dying, what you want to do now is seal the root tip opening so that bacteria, the secondary area of infection bacteria, does not migrate back up into the canal.
So if you don't push that filler to the end, then you'll leave a little space there. And there is a space there, isn't it? Where that abscess is, there's a big hole in the bone.
That's correct.
And you got bacteria in there.
Exactly. But you're only going to fill to the root tip opening, because once you seal the root tip opening and you have no more source of bacteria migrating outside the root tip into the ligament space and into the bone, the body can now, which has plenty of blood supply there, the body can clean that up on its own and fill that bone back in.
So, I think that's so important. Repeat that again, because we're going to fly with that in a moment. This is what he's saying now is the whole art of doing the root canal correctly. So go ahead, please.
Because if you don't seal the root tip opening properly, then the secondary area of bacteria, which is outside the root tip in the periodontal ligament and in the bone, that bacteria will migrate back up into the canal and now cause a tertiary area of infection. You had the source of the infection, the primary. You have the secondary area of infection outside the root tip. And if that root tip opening is not sealed properly, the secondary area bacteria will migrate back up into the canal. And now we have an area for potential tertiary bacteria infection. What that means is that now you have a failed root canal, and now you have a low-grade chronic infection. And this is what leads to a root canal failure. Because what happens with the gutta percha is a soft rubber-like material, and they use instruments. One of the more popular techniques is called warm gutta percha technique.
So gutta percha is what many people fill it in.
Correct. That's standard of care. Not many. It's standard of care.
And you use EndoCal 10, and you're about to explain the drawback to guttapercha that produces very often this problem that you're trying to cite here.
Now, this is, and if this is done properly, if you have someone doing all of this properly, you want to make sure that they're using a material that goes to the root tip and seals. The problem is if you're having a general dentist who's in a rush, who's not using a microscope, and who's not doing things the way it should be done, then what happens is he fills it, he does not do the job he should do, so first of all, he fills it short. You can see this on radiograph all the time. When patients come in, they say they're having a problem with a root canal. Of course they're going to have problems with that root canal because it's filled short. Now, you leave a space for a bacteria to migrate back up in there and cause an area of tertiary infection. But the problem with guttapercha, one of the problems, and this is in general, this is not in every specific case, because I'm sure there are plenty of fine root canal specialists out there who pack all the way to the root tip. The issue is if you are not totally proficient at being able to warm the guttapercha and get it to all the way to the root tip, and even when you do, when you pull your heated instrument out of there, that warm guttapercha cools and shrinks back and breaks the seal at the root tip. Now you have what appears to be a root canal that's filled all the way to the root tip with guttapercha, but has in fact caused an area where bacteria can migrate back up into the canal. What I like about EndoCal 10, it's, first of all, it's calcium hydroxide. It goes in as a calcium oxide, interacts with the moisture in the dental tubules, converts to calcium hydroxide. In and of itself, it's bactericidal, and it expands. And this is the, when I say the word expand, it expands to create a true bond to the wall of the canal, of the dentinal, of
okay,
the
so
dentin.
Let me stop it here just for a second. So what you're saying is guttapercha, if it's used correctly to seal the canal all the way to the apex, may provide a wonderful treatment.
Yes.
And you said that there's enough people out there that do these wonderful treatments. This is the only bone of contention I'll have with you, looking around a lot over 15 years, suffering with root canals occasionally and having to explore. And that is that when you use guttapercha, and I have learned from the best, you have to take a lot of time to pack it in. So, audience, I want you to understand, when you're getting a root canal, some of the best people in the business I have had the pleasure of rubbing elbows with and been taught about how to use guttapercha so that it doesn't retract and pull away from the apex, as Dr. A is pointing out. And you know what that means? Your root canal specialist has to spend a lot of time packing the canal to make sure that by the time he's done, there's not going to be any retraction. You have to put it in, and then you have to wait, and you have to pack it, and then you wait, and you pack it, and then you take x-rays, and you pack it. Otherwise, it's going to retract, and you're going to leave it in a week or two or three or four as it hardens, retracted from the apex, and it means you have to spend a lot of time. I know you're being generous because you need to be. I don't have to be generous to the majority of endodontists who are using guttapercha. They do it, and the procedure is too fast, and they leave the root tip exposed. And this is why you've chosen EndoCal 10. So I just wanted to cut in on that. And now EndoCal 10, it won't recede from the apex. This is what you're saying.
Exactly. It goes in as a paste, and it will get into all the nooks and crannies. And it actually, the reaction of the calcium oxide with the moisture converting to calcium hydroxide causes that expansion. Now, that is, let me talk about that, because that's really important. If you do not understand the expansion properties of EndoCal 10, you can get into trouble. The bottom line is, there just recently, for many years, started using this material. It's been used, EndoCal 10 has been used under another name, BioCalyx 6.9. It was developed by the French for over 30 years in Europe without any issues or problems. Here in the United States, we've been using it for the last 20 years, but the bottom line is this. If the knock against EndoCal 10 all this time has been the fact that it expands so much that it cracks teeth. Yes, I suppose if it's used improperly and not done properly, it can crack teeth because it does have expansion properties. That's one of the nice things about it. It expands and seals. That's the whole purpose of doing the root canal.
But also, it's very unlikely to retract post-treatment.
It doesn't retract. If anything else, it expands, so you know you have a good proper seal at the root tip. But knowing that it does expand, and if you have the proper technique to allow for that expansion, you don't have to worry about cracking teeth.
So, two things here. Number one, instead of guttapercha, you're using, and Dr. Med is using, Endocal-10.
Correct.
Endocal-10 will not retract from the apex, which is the first huge plus. The second huge plus is you and Dr. Mehta do something to mitigate the downside to Endocal-10, which
Correct.
Is that it expands, and theoretically it could crack the root of the tooth. You guys have figured something out, and I want the audience to really understand what you actually do in your practice to mitigate the problem. Again, guys, go to the full article on 3D obturation on the top and go to 25 seconds in. I want you to see what's going on here. Go to 25 seconds in. 25 seconds in, and look at that picture. 25 seconds in. Give yourself a minute to do that. And Dr. A, explain, all right, when you're packing, when Dr. Med is packing with Endocal-10, to mitigate that downside where it can expand out and potentially crack, which is why a lot of endodontists won't use it. What you do to make sure that that downside doesn't occur.
So what Dr. Mehta has learned to do and developed, he's developed a technique and a procedure where he leaves expansion space in the coronal portion in the pulp chamber area so that before he does a buildup, he has the space there so that the Endocal-10 can now expand, give it the benefit of its that wonderful property of expansion, of going from calcium oxide to calcium hydroxide, which is bactericidal in and of itself. He gives it expansion space, and now we have eliminated that problem that has plagued so many, not so many, that is purportedly the downside to using Endocal-10.
So rather than guttapercha, you get the best of Endocal-10, and you mitigate the worst of it.
Correct.
I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, my favorite dentist for what should be by now a very obvious reason, Dr. Randolph Aguilar, talking about root canals. Time for a phone number, 949-936-0022. Speak to Penny. That's Dr. A's perfect office manager, 949-936-0022. He's not going to do the root canal, but what he's going to do is determine whether or not you need the root canal. And that's a diagnostician, and that's a man of generosity, and that's a man that's not going to rush, and that's a man that's been in the trenches, not just with me for 15 years now, but for others. Dr. A hasn't mentioned that he trained with Dr. Robert Marshall for, what, we're in the 20 years now?
20 years.
And believe me, those are stringent requirements. He's seen a lot. I can't even imagine the number of teeth you've looked at over 20 years and under what conditions, mostly devoted in the interest of holistic dentistry. Now, Doc, we're going to do this show in two parts on the root canals.
Okay.
We only did part one of root canal tonight. One thing I want to say, other than thank you, is we just got, and I'm very proud of this, into some of the guts of what a superior root canal is all about. Public doesn't get this information. It's very hard to find this information, and it's very hard to codify it into 45 or 50 minutes. And I just think we've made a fabulous first shot at it. In 2 weeks, you're going to come back to the show, and I've decided now, because of what I see emerging here, we're going to have to do part two of root canal. In the meantime, if you were sitting there and you've had a root canal that hasn't worked, do not wait. If you're sitting there and you have intermittent pain in the tooth, get it diagnosed correctly. 949-936-0022. We've got about 5 minutes left. Okay? And we were just talking about the advantages of Endocal-10, of shaping the canal, of knowing it's not the periodontal ligament. We're going to get into that later. We did some basic anatomy. Let's take a look at what we call the lateral roots of the tooth so they really get to see.
Oh, yeah. These are great pictures.
Let's go to picture number 19. Boy, how are you going to get that done if you don't know what you're doing? Guys, in that red, Doc, you explain it.
Well, what you're looking at there is if you can barely see the outline on the left and right of the root, and you can see that periodontal ligament space, that kind of a up and down, if you can show that with the arrow, the ligament space, so you can see the outline of root. But that red represents the canal and the lateral canals that are off of this. This is like a nightmare to fill this.
That's a nightmare.
This truly is a nightmare. And it has the potential. Now, outside the root tip, what you're looking at is the filling material that has gone into the bone, into the cavity that is now left by the abscess.
All right, so I want to make sure the audience understands this. Guys, you're looking at, this is picture number 19. So you're at picture number 19, and what Dr. A is saying is that for a general dentist to fill this canal is a nightmare. What you see in the red is, say, the gutta percha or the endocal 10. What you see in the green is the what did you call it?
The paste.
The paste that went outside the apex of the canal and is actually, that green is actually where the bone was that the infection ate into. Now, all those little side branches in red, in many teeth, those side branches are not there. The easy canal is the one that doesn't have any lateral roots. Look at the complexity of that.
This is why you need a root canal specialist with a microscope and great x-ray sensors to be able to pick up this kind of detail. And this is a wonderful picture. Whoever did this is not a root canal specialist. He's an artiste. And then that is going above and beyond. So this is why it's so important that you have a practitioner who specializes. You can't do this my colleagues out there as general dentists, I bless you that you do these kind of root canals, but the bottom line is that's why we have root canal specialists in the business. This is their forte. And you don't want to do these things, but only once. So do it once the correct time. Do it once correctly the first time so that you don't have to worry about retreatments. You don't have to worry about root canal surgeries.
This is why we need good teams.
Exactly.
We need a dentist like you and a specialist like Dr. Mehta to work hand in hand, where you spend a great deal of your time doing the differential between is it a periodontal ligament or is it an endodontic or root canal issue. And that is its own art. Once you've determined it's endodontic, it goes on to your specialist.
Right.
And you're watching your specialist. And I want to emphasize this. You see, in my relationship, you're the guy I trust. And I know that you're covering my back, and I know you're covering the back of any patient that I send to you. And that's critical, because the relationship of the gatekeeper is like the orchestrator. And the orchestrator has to be responsible for everything in the end, because that's the first person the patient sees. And on that basis, this teamwork that you've developed, I think, is superior. The synergy between you two guys, I think, is outstanding. And it has to be, because look at what nature provides us with.
Yes.
Look at all those lateral roots. That's a nightmare if somebody doesn't have gentle hands, use a microscope, if they don't pack correctly. Just the packing skill on this. Don't you have to take x-rays every so many minutes?
Sure.
To make sure that you filled all the lateral roots?
Exactly. Because the whole idea, the ultimate goal is to get to filled all the way to the root tip opening, all the way to the apical foramen. You have to be able to take x-rays to verify.
We could do 10 shows on this and not finish it. We're going to do another one in 2 weeks. If you're down in the midst of it with your teeth, 949-936-0022. Talk to Penny, Dr. A's wonderful office manager. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. We're going to see you guys in 2 weeks for part two of root canal therapy. Ta-ta.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.